6. Jeremiah chapter 46, I just want to read a couple of verses here. You're used to an expository message on Wednesday night. You're not going to get one tonight. This would be a topical message. We're going to take a topic and look at a topic. Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 3. Order ye the buckler and shield and draw near to battle. Harness the horses and get up, ye horsemen, and stand forth with your helmets. Furnish the spears and put on the brigandines. Father, we ask your blessing on the reading of your word tonight. We ask for an anointing for your servant. We pray, Lord, that the things that need to come out will come out, and the things that don't, won't. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We pray for our pastor. We pray, Lord, that you'll place your healing touch upon him and bring him back here in this pulpit on Sunday as good as new. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've blessed this church with. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have tonight to gather together and to worship without fear of reprisal. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have as people of God to befriend one another and to pray for one another and pray for our sick. And thank you, Lord, for everything that you've blessed this church with. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah is known as a weeping prophet. And I think he was called the weeping prophet, if I understand it right, because he was given some prophecies about the nation of Israel that if they were given, you and I, about our families, we would weep too. Because most of the prophecy in the book of Jeremiah is about the destruction of the nation of Israel. But I took this passage of Scripture, and I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that I have preached from this passage before. Pastor emailed me yesterday, and I didn't pick it up till this morning, and asked me to speak tonight. And I didn't have the liberty to spend hours and hours in study. But fortunately, after 20-some years pastoring, I have a few sermons. And this one passage of Scripture I want to call your attention to. Three little words. It's in verse 4. It's harness the horses. And I'm a country boy, raised in the country. We farmed with a team till I was a junior in high school, so I know how to harness a horse. And the one thing I vowed when I left home after I got out of high school, I would never harness another one. And so far, God willing, I have not had to do that. But when we talk about harnessing horses, we talk about a hard day's work. It's easy to get out, climb on a tractor, turn the switch, start it, and drive off. It takes a little more work to do that with a team of horses. It takes a little more care. You could park the tractor in the barn, come back the next day, it's still there. The horses have to be fed, and they have to be watered. Their stables have to be clean, and everything else that goes along with working horses. I mean, if you don't believe it, talk to Dave there. He takes care of the U.S. mule downtown at the post office. But we think of doing a hard day's work when we work with horses. But in this passage of Scripture, God uses that term for battle. And I don't know whether you realize it. I think you do by now, because the people that I speak to tonight have got a few tire tracks and a few years behind them. The Christian life is a battle. It's not an easy life. And in order to win, come out ahead, we need to be overcomers. We need to be on top. We need to be in harness for the Lord. We need to be prepared to work. And I want to talk tonight for a little while on some of the things that harness talks about. When I think of harness, the first thing I think of when I think of harness, I think of death. You say, well, that's an unusual thing to think about. Well, not really. Because harness is made of leather. And leather comes from animals. And some animal had to die in order to make a set of harness. I can remember some of the harnesses we had at home for our team. They were quite heavy. They weighed 60 or 70 pounds, and the horses were pretty good size. But we had to get and wrestle that harness up on that horse before we could do anything. And you know, we have to be harnessed too as Christians. Because in order to be in service for the Lord, we have to die. We have to die to ourself. We have to die to our old life. We have to die to the things around us that don't pertain to the work of God. Death is necessary for service. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. And we need to get up every morning and do the same thing. If we'll be dead to the world, then Christ can live with us. He can't live through us unless we are dead to the world around us. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. But not I, but Christ that liveth through me. And I know I didn't phrase that correctly, but it was close. And I think of that, I think of death. The second thing I think of when I think of harness, I think of intelligence. The world today wants to depict Christian people as vain and stupid and misled and every other term you can think of that applies to that. But harness in God's work speaks of intelligence, because that harness didn't just evolve. We had a couple of pegs on the barn wall that we hung that harness on. Somebody had to put those pegs up. Somebody had to make that harness. That harness had a harness maker. And not just anybody could make harness. I've repaired some harness. And it didn't look like the original harness when I got done. Harness maker has to know what he's doing. But more than that, he has to know what the harness has to do. The harness has a job to do. And you look around at the works of God around us today, it tells us that we have an intelligent God. One of the personal jokes that we have around the house is, you know, what is retirement? Retirement is going to the doctor and visiting your friends in the funeral home. That's what retirement's all about. And then once a month you get a paycheck, so you get paid for that. But we realize that our life is short. We've got to make it last. We get the best out of it we can. And you read the words of God and the works of God around us, you'll see that we have an intelligent God. We go to the doctor, and these doctors, you know the first test that a doctor runs? It's how much your insurance policy will stand. Doesn't have anything to do whether you need the test or not, but how much will your insurance policy take? And this human body, God has built within it the capacity to heal itself. But it wears out just like anything else. You know, I was reminded the other day about a fluorescent bulb. You know, that we take fluorescent bulbs for granted anymore. But you know, when they invented the fluorescent bulb, they had a real problem, because they couldn't get them to burn out. And the money in light bulbs is in the replacements. So they had to figure a way to get that thing to have a shelf life and to burn out before they could market the thing. God built in us what we need as far as living our life and repairing our body. This body's a magnificent thing. It didn't just evolve. Anybody that tells you that, you know, if you believe something like that, you got a whole lot more faith than I've got. It just didn't happen. And leather's the same way. See, leather's made by God, and it's not made by man. Man makes the harness. He puts it together. God makes the leather. You ever take a look at a piece of leather and stretch it? And I know some of you, you're farm kids, and you know what I'm talking about. The horse is standing out in the weather. Brother Dickinson's cattle. They stand out in the rain. Can you imagine what would happen if that animal, if that skin leaked? That animal would drown standing out there in the pasture field. God made that leather so it would breathe and it had pores in it, but yet it didn't leak. We sit down at the dinner table tomorrow. I know this would be cannibalism for some of you, but some of you will have turkey tomorrow. The seniors are going to have a dinner on Tuesday. We're going to have ham because, you know, we listen to that. But we sit down and we eat flesh. We eat animal flesh. We eat bird flesh and all kinds of flesh. And it goes in our stomach and it digests. We could eat a cow's stomach and that cow's stomach would digest in our stomach. Why doesn't our stomach digest in our stomach? Do you ever think of that? God made us. We have an intelligent God. Next thing I think about harness. Harness is made for service. We talk about being in the work of the Lord. Harness is made for the blessing of mankind. I know we've got an influx of Amish. My mom and dad, when they retired from farming back in the 70s, sold their farm to the Amish. And the first thing, of course, they did was go in and tear out every modern convenience in there. Had a 270-foot deep well. They put a hand pump on it. When they took the bathroom out, I thought my mother would cry. All those years that we never had a bath, we had a path. And she finally got a nice big bathroom and a nice big modern kitchen. Then when they retired and sold to the Amish went in and ripped all that out. But they brought with them, instead of a car, they brought a buggy. And if you ever notice and you watch the Amish in their buggies, it's a different harness than you have on a workhorse. You got light harness for a buggy, you got heavy harness for the plow. And God provides different people for different work, just as we provide different harness for different types of work. Talking to Brother John here one day about starting work, I've started a work. Not everybody is built for pioneering work. It's a difficult job. And you can get to the place where you can get discouraged pretty easy when you hold a service and you advertise and you call all day long. And you get there and you wait on Sunday morning and nobody shows up. And you preach to yourself. But you do it. You do it whether anybody comes or not. But it's a pioneering work. It's a different type. Harness is designed for the type of work you do. Not everybody's called to preach. Not everybody can sing. You know that by listening to me. I can't sing. Not everybody can teach. Not everybody can drive. Not everybody can do a lot of different things. But God put every one of you in here with the ability and the blessing to have something to do in God's work. You're all usable. Might be light harness, might be heavy harness, but we've all got a job to do. The next thing I think of when I think of harness, the horses never minded the harness because we were very particular about the harness and how it fit the horse. The harness was designed for each individual horse because harness has to be designed for comfort because that horse had to go out and work all day in that harness. It couldn't be pinched, it couldn't be binding, couldn't be rubbing because that would cause sores and distress and all kind of pain for the horse. And the horse is going to back off and he's just not going to do that. Sort of like the U.S. mule, you know, if you work him too hard, he won't do his job. But the first thing you put on the horse was a collar. And collars are big and round. You've all seen a horse collar, but they're soft. And they go against the horse's shoulder, and he pulls his weight with that collar. The harness fits all around that collar and comes back from it. The next thing you put on, he's got to have a halter or a bridle. And that's got to be smooth because he's got to be steered and taught how to do things the correct way. And what did Jesus say? He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I'll tell you, when you're harnessed for God and you're in the middle of God's will and you're in the job that God has called you to, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And then I think of harness also. My dad couldn't wait to get back to the farm. I was born in a little town called Frazeesburg. My dad, before World War II, had a farm all tractor dealership there. And when the war broke out, couldn't get tractors, so he went to work in Goodyear Aircraft in Akron, Ohio. Along with a lot of different members of the family that moved to Akron and Canton and worked in the steel mills and the different places up there. But he lit up there in Akron, and all he talked about was coming back to the farm. 1952, we came back to the farm, back to Guernsey County. And in order to have a farm, you got to have something to work it with. So we had to get it, you got a team. In order to have a team, you had to have harness. Well, most harnesses come with the horses. When they, Tiny Warren, the local resident horse trader back in those days, would trade a team, the team came with the harness already with it. But my dad had picked up some things for that team. He had some ivory rings and some brass rings that he put on that harness. Now, these are two old workhorses, Dolly and Queenie. Big old plow horses. And he wanted them to look as good as he could look. I mean, we've all seen the Anheuser-Busch teams, and they're thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that they spend on harness for those. But my dad had to have those brass rings and brass buckles and some tassels and stuff like that to make his horses look good. And you know, service for God is beautiful. It's not dull, it's not drab, it's not dreary, but every day is full of joy and it's full of sunshine. Where else can you go on a day like we had today and have the sunshine of the Lord shine down on you all day long, regardless of the rain and the clouds? Be in the middle of God's will. Now, when I think of harness, I think of fitness also. Harness has to be made to fit. We talked about this a little bit. But harness for a draft horse won't work on a pony. It's just something about it that it just doesn't work. When I was a kid, we lived up in Akron, we had a couple of ponies. And we had one that we did some work with, and we cut down some harness so we could cultivate garden with. It was a big pony. But we come down to the farm, that harness wasn't any good for anything. We had nothing the size of that to use that harness. And then we think of David. David went out to the battlefield, and they had lined up 40 days and 40 nights. They had lined up. Philistines over on this hill, Israel on this hill. Goliath would come out every day, and he'd taunt the armies of Israel. I don't know what he said, but I can imagine he'd say, well, you guys are a bunch of sissies. You're chickens. Come on, I'll take you on. One person. I'll take on anybody that wants to come out. They had no takers. Everybody looked at Goliath, head and shoulders taller than everybody else. David comes up there, the shepherd boy. He's on a mission to bring some groceries to his brothers. And he says, well, that's the God of Israel he's talking about. Our God can do anything. So he went to Saul and he says, I'll take on that giant. Saul says, okay, I'm going to fix you up so you can whip any giant in the country. He says, here's my armor. Saul was a big guy. David was a little guy. David couldn't wear Saul's armor because it wouldn't fit him. Too big, too cumbersome. He went out with what he had, a slingshot and a rock, and that's the first mention in the Bible of rock and roll. He took the rock and he rolled the giant. And it was all over for Goliath. He stood on top of him and he chopped his head off with his own sword. See, God doesn't expect us to use what he has equipped somebody else with. I never will be a singer. I mean, I don't care. If I live to be 140, I can't read music. I can't learn to read music. I tried. I had a year of music theory in college, and I still can't read music. And I don't know what that little thing that you said looked like a bird's eye was, but that just astounded me that you knew that, John. Because I thought it was a bird's eye, too. But you know one thing God does know? He knows the size of our hearts. He knows what we're equipped for. And he also knows the size of our heads. You know, sometimes our heads can get bigger than our hearts, and we try to take on more than God has equipped us for. He knows our minds. He knows our abilities. I started Bible college with 45 guys called to the ministry. 4 years of Bible college, 11 were ordained. There were just 11 of us out of that class that were ordained, because a lot of the guys that came to Bible college, they thought that was going to be better than working. They thought that was going to be an easy row to hoe. But I tell you, it's not an easy row to hoe, especially in Bible college, when you've got a family and you go to school all day and you work all night so you can go to school all day the next day and try to live on 2 or 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night and try to get through there and go out and do something for the Lord. A lot of them fell by the wayside. That's just the way things are. But God knows our minds. He knows our hearts. He knows what our abilities are. And he will fit us with the right harness so we can do the job. And you know something else about harness? Harness helps the horse to go and pull. Harness also helps the horse to stop. Christian life is like that sometimes. Sometimes we need to stand still. The Lord God told the Old Testament prophet, he says, stand still and let the Lord do the job. The servant looked out, and all he saw was the army Saul surrounding. The prophet said, Lord, open his eyes. And when the Lord opened the servant's eyes, he saw the angels of the Lord encamped all around the army, and the army was gone. They got into it with themselves, and God took care of that. There are times when we have to pull, and there are times when we have to hold back. I admire the people of this church. Sometimes we sacrifice the expedient for the immediate. There have been a lot of buildings in Guernsey County that have been available in the last 20 years. Lots of them. There'll be a lot more buildings available in the next 20 years. But the people of this church and the pastor of this church, the leadership of this church, had enough sense to first of all get their ducks in a row, build a building account, wait for the right building, pray over it to make sure they found it, and then look what God gave them. God gave us this building. We've got room in here to grow. This church grew almost immediately by 20 to 25% just by moving into the building. But there were lots of times, I imagine, for those of you that have been here, you said, we got to get out of this old building. There were some of you that said, we don't want to ever leave this building. We want to stay the size we are. But you know, if you don't grow, you die. And God's plan is grow. Sometimes we have to hold back. Sometimes we have to pull. We're going to pull in time now. All of us need to be in harness for God. We need to pull. We've got a building to fill up. The missionaries that went out in that letter, we need to follow that up. We need to follow that up throughout Guernsey County, everything that this church reads. We have people that come from Caldwell. We have people that come from Zanesville. We have people that come from Port Washington. Our area is not just Baysville. This is our Jerusalem. Guernsey County is our Judea. The state of Ohio and the uttermost parts of the world is ours. Those missionaries, we need to go farther than we've gone ever in that. We need to take on whatever we can do. And you know, it's up to us to raise the standard and keep pulling. We had a one horse that was a contrary horse. You ever had a contrary horse? Well, I had an uncle that farmed with a mule. Now, there's never been a more contrary animal in the world than a mule. A mule will be a perfect gentleman for years and years and years and years just to get you in his sights one time and kick the living fire right out of you. My grandfather had a team of white mules. He was known for his white mules, big mules. And they tell the story, because he died in 43 in Republic Steel in Canton. But he was working behind those mules, and this one mule got a hold of him one time. And he just got him dead in his sights and just kicked him like that and knocked him clear across the barn. My grandfather, half Cherokee Indian, big fella, never said a word. He just picked himself up and dusted himself off, and he went around in front of that mule, and he picked up a 4x4 and hit it right square between the eyes. And the mule dropped to its knees like that, killed it deader than a doornail. My uncle was there and witnessed it. They used to work together. My uncle married my dad's oldest sister. So she was about 10 years younger than him, so they knew the story. But he looked at that mule when it drops, and he says, "Now kick." And that's all he said. But we had a horse that liked to kick. So our harness was specially equipped. It had what they call a kicking strap on it. And the strap went behind the back legs of the horse. And when the horse kicked, he'd get hung up in that kicking strap and he couldn't get a good kick in. Because you learn something about horses. A horse can't kick and pull at the same time. He needs that strength to pull, and he needs both feet on the ground to pull. And you know something else? Christians that kick won't work either. They can't work when they kick. And we've all run across some in our lifetime, some Christians that like to kick. They like to complain. How many churches have you seen in a split because of an argument over the color of the drapes in the sanctuary? Little things like that. They just like to complain. You know, God didn't call us to complain. God called us to get together and work together and to pull together. A team is only as good as the other one. We had a horse that liked to hang back. We had this one horse that would pull out ahead. And the other one would just sort of just mosey along and let the other horse do all the work. Well, you got some reins on there, so you slap it with the reins and you pick right up there and pick up the pace. And you know, every so often we need slap too, because we're holding back. We need to get out there and pull together. And then you've seen this on a workhorse. You've seen it on a buggy horse. Some harnesses made with blinders, some little things that go up alongside the eyes. And there's just little flaps up there. And it keeps the horse from seeing what's going on over here and what's going on over here. And he just looks ahead. Because he can be disturbed by the things that go along beside him. How many times as Christians are we disturbed by the things that go along beside us? We've got a life to live. We've got families to raise and children to take care of and grandchildren to be proud of and all the little things that go along with the issues of life. But we've still got to keep our eyes on the work. God has called us to His work. Does God need to keep a set of blinders on us to keep us from being sidetracked? You know, you can look around here on a Wednesday night. Wednesday night is the church. This is the church. Sunday morning's not the church. You see people here on Sunday morning once in a while, but they'll never be here on Wednesday night. Never here always on a Sunday morning. Usually not on a Sunday night. The people in the church are the Wednesday night crowd, the people that are faithful to all the services. Why? Because they're not being sidetracked. There's a lot of things you could do. There might even be something on television worth watching. I haven't found it yet, but there might be something on there. Does God need to put blinders on us to keep our eyes on the road ahead? And then I see about harness. You know, I remember the harness. We had a set of lines that we steered with. Two lines. And they were hooked on, two to each horse, and they were tied together. So you had four lines. And the horse was sensitive to the touch of the line. You pulled to the left, he went that way. You pulled to the right, he went that way. You ever so often you get a horse with a hard mouth. You've got to put a bit in it that's not just a straight bit, a bit that's got a little bit something, a little hump or something like that on it, so that when you pull that line, it gets the horse's attention. But you know, Christians have lines too. Our lines are the Old Testament and the New Testament. Sometimes God has to jerk the bit in our mouth to get our attention. Our driver, the Holy Spirit of God. That's why it's important every day to start your day with the book. Get in the book. Read in the New Testament. Read in the Old Testament. Read wherever you read, but every day do it. Don't let anything keep you out of the book. So what kind of workers are we? What do we do for the Lord? Do we resist the Holy Spirit of God? Are we willing to heed God when He speaks? Do we listen? Can God still touch your heart? Can He still bring a tear to your eye? You know, I wonder sometimes. We've been so covered over with the soap operas and all the other stuff. When we see something that God says and God teaches us, it's hard to get that tear anymore. Our emotions have been wasted. It's important for us to be tender-hearted, because the final outcome is that the amount that the Lord can do with us and through us. The field, that's the world. The workers, we're the workers. We're God's horses. And the question, are we willing to be harnessed for God? Are we willing to be broken? In order for a horse to be used, the first thing you have to do is break it. It has to learn to submit. And you and I, as God's people, have to learn that we have to submit to the Lordship of Christ. The world around us wants to drag us out, drag us off the altar. Like the old boy in revival service one night, this lady come down, he says, "What are you coming for?" She says, I've got a bad habit. I like to gossip. She says, I need to lay my tongue on the altar tonight. And he says, "Lady, this altar's only 25 foot long." He says, "I don't know whether that'll work." And isn't that the truth with us? We need to lay it on the altar too. We need to submit, allow ourselves to be broken, submit to the Lordship of Christ. First thing we submit for, of course, is salvation. I'm looking at a Wednesday night crowd here. I don't know your hearts. God does. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that tonight. Then you need to follow the Lord and believers' baptism and then service. Everybody can do something. We can't all do everything, but we can all do something. And I ask you tonight, will you let the Lord use you in these last days in the harvest of souls for Jesus Christ? Let's bow our heads. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father,